This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with T. Xiao Eek. As always, we have two stories for you today. First up, a prized painting by Gustav Klimt that was stolen nearly 23 years ago has been found and authenticated. So we look at the fascinating story behind its theft and reappearance.
And in our second story, just today, England's Department of Education kickstarts a new scheme that will make sanitary products like sanitary pads and tampons freely available to state schools and colleges in the country. So we take a look at whether we can emulate this to address period poverty in Malaysia.
So that's coming up on the second half of our show. But first, we are going to be talking about art.
Yes. Favorite topic, of course.
I try not to talk about it too much. The global art world actually recovered a valued painting last week when a portrait by Gustav Klimt, which was stolen way back in 1997 and found in December,
Just December last year,
was finally declared to be authentic. Mm. So it's called Portrait of a Lady. And the painting is an expressionistic portrait of a woman, quite predictably, mm-hmm. painted between 1916 and 1917. It was stolen from the Ricci Odi Museum in Piacenza, Italy, mm-hmm. and has actually remained one of the art world's biggest mysteries until December 10th, when gardeners who were removing ivy from the gallery's walls found a metal panel inside which was a bag with the painting in it.
That's just unbelievable. And then, of course, time was needed to authenticate the painting, and this was done by a team of experts led by Claudia Collina of the Institute for Cultural Heritage in Bologna. And one of the key methods was using x-rays of the painting, because this particular painting is known to have another portrait of a woman underneath it, and that was discovered back in 1996, shortly before this painting was stolen. And so the original portrait is believed to be a woman that Klimt had a love affair with, but after her death, he painted over the work. That's true love for you, isn't it? Additionally, the painting had the museum's stamp on it as well. So late last week, it was finally declared that the painting was indeed the missing portrait.
Mm, such a sort of twisty narrative to this whole thing, right? And why is this portrait such a big deal? Well, firstly, because it is a Klimt, mm-hmm. and he is one of the best known Austrian symbolist and Art Nouveau painters. He was operating from the late 1800s to the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And even the casual observer really will recognize his work, even though you may not instantly recognize his name, mm-hmm. Because of paintings like The Kiss, The Tree of Life, Death and Life. And they all have that, the thing that people usually recognize is the use of the abstraction, the mm-hmm. shapes in his painting, mm-hmm. The use of gold, mm-hmm. Very Art Nouveau. And his paintings of women's bodies with this like striking display of erotic, which was really quite innovative for that time. Mm-hmm. Of course, I think we might need an expert to explain that a little better than me.
I thought you were doing
brilliant.
I'm brilliantly.
A casual observer of Klimt, although a very big fan. I spoke earlier today to art curator Lien Loy, and I asked her why Klimt holds such an important position in the art world.
Well, Gustav Klimt's painting and painting style is iconic and really remains an example of innovation in the arts for someone who emphasized a more decorative style of art and was really in revolt against academic art in the 1800s. He's also known as an Austrian symbolist painter whose practice primarily consists of paintings, murals, and other sculptures which depict many of his female muses. He also founded the Vienna Succession Movement, which took a lot of inspiration from the real world of sexuality, sexual liberation, pleasure, as well as human suffering. So murals that he created during the time of his emergence were highly criticized for being too erotic, too avant-garde, and so naturally he was already seen as causing scandals throughout Vienna. But many of his paintings capture this romance, and it blurs the lines of the erotic, but also uses a lot of decorative motifs that can be found in Art Nouveau. Actually, one of his most famous paintings is arguably The Kiss. Mm. It's a scene capturing a couple entwined in this passionate embrace. And the blatant affection and the luster of the gold and the materials really exemplifies Klimt's painting practice and his distinct style. But what's, I think, most notable about Klimt was that he was known as a fearless rebel, a bohemian, an influential figure who really influenced a lot of his younger protégés. One of whom, who is another actually very famous artist, is Egon Schiele, who is another Austrian painter who is lauded for his breaking of artistic conventions by depicting nudes and contorted figures of twisting bodies that was also indicative of Klimt's style. So Klimt really would eventually influence much of the next generation after him of European expressionists.
So it's no real surprise why a work by Klimt might be the target of art theft. Mm. But what adds to the intrigue in this case of a portrait of a lady is that the crime was never solved. Mm-hmm. No one knows how the painting was stolen or by whom. So back in 1997, the painting was found missing shortly before a special exhibition at the gallery, and that was during the renovation of the building. Investigators found the painting's frame on the museum roof. Mm-hmm. So some people thought that a fishing line had been used to hook the painting off the wall and pull it through open skylight.
That is the stuff of movies.
It sounds really ingenious. But one of the original investigators have come out to say that the skylight wasn't big enough for that to have taken place.
Mm. But they still don't know, right? Mm. And the drama continued. So 2 months after that robbery, they briefly thought that they had found the painting because the Italian police found a high-quality forgery at the Italian border with France in a package that was addressed to former Italian Prime Minister Bettino Craxi. Bettino Craxi had actually fled to Tunisia to hide from corruption allegations. But it turned out to be a fake, of course. Mm. And then in 2015, someone claiming to have stolen the painting actually told an Italian newspaper that it would be returned on the 20th anniversary of the theft. But that never happened.
That's quite the hoax, isn't it? But finally, the painting is back. And literally where it was stolen from in the first place. Here's Leanne Loy again talking about why the recovery of Portrait of a Lady is so significant.
Well, after reading about the article and reading about the painting specifically, I think it's important because the work was completed by Klimt a year before he died in 1917. And not long after that, it was bought over by Ricci Oddi Gallery, where the painting was stolen from. And also the work went missing in 1997 before it was planned to be exhibited at a gallery. And during this specific time, the artist paintings, the prices of the artist paintings were soaring, which is also one thing to note. But this, all of this adds to the spectacle of the story and in turn impacts the significance of the works. Not to mention, Klimt's works has always been embroiled in a very troubled history, as many of his works were looted by the Nazis in Vienna. There's actually a film about it. It's called Woman in Gold. And so the return of the works is representative of the return and reparation of wrongdoings in history, and really ultimately presents a story of justice. But for the art world, there's also this romantic aspect of rediscovery that we're able to look at and experience another piece of Gustav Klimt's that after it went missing, we didn't really think was possible.
Unfortunately, the answer to who stole the painting and why might remain unsolved for the foreseeable future unless new evidence surfaces. But, you know, this is actually not uncommon when it comes to art crimes. If we look at some of the most high-profile art thefts, what stands out is how they happened in the first place. Because, you know, despite the security measures in place, you would think that these places holding items that are worth millions of dollars would have impenetrable security.
That's right.
And yet, apparently, a fishing line and a hole in the roof might be enough.
And you don't. And apparently, you don't notice it until it's due to be exhibited.
Yeah.
And then you find a frame on the roof.
Right. And the other thing that they all have, so many of them have in common, is how they remain unsolved.
Yes. And I also think many of us who are not serious followers of art, we think of art galleries as perhaps the really big national ones, which where they would have sophisticated security measures, but we don't realize that there are many small galleries peppered throughout, especially in Europe, and they have acquired many, you know, here and there, a few pieces by very, very famous painters.
Not to mention, I think, places that are actually very open to public, like cathedrals,
that's
churches,
that's right.
All of which have a lot of artwork in them as well, which might make it more complicated. complicated in terms of securing the space.
Right, yeah. So take, for example, the Whitworth Gallery in Manchester, where £4 million worth of art by Van Gogh, Picasso and Gauguin were stolen back in 2003. 3 days later, the police found all the paintings in a public bathroom 200 metres from the gallery with a note from the thief saying, the intention was not to steal, only to highlight the woeful security.
Oh, there you go.
that's a great PSA right there.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the theft at the Kunsthal Museum in Rotterdam in 2012, where paintings by Monet and Picasso were stolen. The alleged thieves were caught later, but the paintings were never found. Mm. And one of the suspects' mother actually claimed that she had burned the paintings, which were worth millions of euros, because she wanted to burn the evidence to save her son.
Oh my God, just think of that. And so many of these thefts come with such fascinating stories as well. So the Just Judges, one of the panels of the famous Ghent altarpiece by either Jan van Eyck or his brother Hubert van Eyck, was stolen in 1934 from St. Bavo's Cathedral in Ghent and has never been found. But shortly after the theft, the thieves started a letter correspondence with the police and 11 letters were exchanged. They asked for a ransom of 1 million Belgian francs and in good faith, they returned one part of the panel. Mm-hmm. But the rest was never recovered. And the self-proclaimed thief, Arsène Gaudetier, revealed on his deathbed that he was the only one who knew where the painting was and would take the secret to his grave.
There's something so fascinating about even these people who do these crimes.
That's right.
Like it doesn't look like it's about the money at all.
You think these, like you said, are, you know, plots from a movie, but this is real life.
And then there is, well, speaking of a movie plot, there's what's called the, you know, largely known as the biggest art heist in history, which actually happened just in 1990 at the Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. So 13 works of art, estimated at $500 million US dollars collectively, were stolen by two men, disguised as police officers, who tricked the security guards into letting them enter the museum, and then they had the run of the place for more than an hour.
Yep.
And works that went missing in this heist include those by Vermeer, by Rembrandt, and they've never been found.
So they just strolled out.
Nobody knows quite how they managed to remove the paintings. And from what I understand, there have been theories that one of the security guards might actually have been in on the plot as well.
Yes.
He was actually arrested at a much later age, in his late 70s, I believe, but then was let go for lack of evidence. But the paintings themselves are never recovered. I've actually been to this museum, and what they've done is that the 13 paintings that have been stolen still have empty frames where they used to be.
On the walls.
Yeah, so they never replaced them. And you kind of have a little version of what the original painting was, just as a memory. And I suppose it kind of adds to that intrigue and experience well.
It is part of the story, isn't it? And we love these things. Mm-hmm. We love to hear and read about about scandalous crimes in a way. And so what is it that is so fascinating about these art crimes? Here's what Leanne had to say.
I've been thinking about why this news really splashes the front pages of newspapers. And I think that artworks have this intrinsic value that's supported by its narrative and context. And imbued within the context of the artwork is the social, physical, political environment at that particular point in history. So that participates in the development of its narrative. It's like the saying, like, a picture is worth a thousand words. It really implies that one can interpret the contents of an artwork from a myriad of perspectives, including accessing it from a historic point of view. So you consider its external values as well. And then the artwork becomes integral component to history, especially Austrian history, that allows us the opportunity to interpret it also from a very personal point of view. So when a story like this comes up on the news, then an artwork is found by a significant artist in history, the interest surrounding it for me becomes not that it went missing, but rather it's now a found piece of history. And because art is mostly about storytelling, the narrative becomes even more enticing. And especially for this one, it's this is when the unraveling of this mystery happens. And, you know, everyone loves a story with an open ending. And so a crime, a high-level art crime like this really provides that, this, like, juicy story. Even despite it being found, it's a story that, you know, questions what happened and what it went through during the 23 years that it was missing. So it's a story full of mystery and speculation. But I think also what's the icing on the cake for maybe the general public is that the market value placed on the artworks was incredibly high. I'm not quite sure what the figure was, but definitely like 60 million euros or something of that sort. And that really amplifies and validates the discovery. This is what's usually like mentioned in the news and the media outlets. And it's really the alluring factor that leaves people in awe of the story. Like, wow, how did something of that magnitude really get missing for so long? But I think that is also the crux of that kind of story is that when you read it, it leaves you with a slew of questions after, which to me is really what art is about. You know, when you look at it, you gain that long-lasting impression of the work, and then you follow up with the ability of having an ongoing conversation.
I think that was Lian Loy, art curator, talking a little bit about why we are always so fascinated by these art crimes.
And especially the unsolved mysteries.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, on that note about it being unsolved, I think one of the things, of course, is the fact that it's very difficult to resell items that are this
That's
recognizable
right.
and this well known.
That's right.
Which is why most of them rarely resurface unless someone actually finds them stashed away somewhere, because they're either sold in the black market mm-hmm. and sit in some sort of shady rich person's vault, or the thieves, I think, tend to keep them somewhere and hope that they'll be able to sell them at a later point, and that time never comes along.
So, I mean, with the Portrait of a Lady, right, it does sound like that.
Yeah.
And they sequester it in the place, right, like literally right under your nose, the place that you are least likely to look for
yes.
it. And but I suppose they never had a chance to get back to retrieve them.
Or maybe something happened to them. I don't know. Like, I mean, but that's just it. Like, all the different possibilities that you imagine.
Mm.
That's why stories like these end up being, I mean, I was a huge fan of like White Collar, the TV
show. Series, yes.
Yeah, but then there's also the Ocean's movies, mm-hmm. there's the Thomas Crown Affair
yep.
which all talk about these high-level sort of crime that doesn't involve, so it's white-collar crime. It's not necessarily criminal, but there's just such a fascination about the planning and the way the heist is done.
Yep.
I find it fascinating.
But I think the ones that make the news are, like you say, these sort of really high level, thefts of high profile works. But, you know, I read this book a while back, so I must say I don't recall much about it. It's called Priceless, How I Went Undercover to Rescue the World's Stolen Treasure. And it's sort of the memoirs of Robert Whitman. He's the founder of the FBI's art crime team.
Ooh.
And I remember he does spend a bit of time talking about, so he recovers art and also artifacts and antiquities. And he does mention that, you know, not all of them are sophisticated crimes of very, very, monetarily valuable works. Some of them are smaller thefts. They're objects that may be priceless for valuable to a smaller community, perhaps. So they don't make the news they may not be carried out by, I suppose, your jewel thief kind of that caliber.
Your Matt Bomer level.
Yeah, nobody is Matt Bomer. But there you go. You get the culprits run the gamut.
Mm. Yeah. Well, if you find the subject as interesting as we do, if you kind of like these heist movies, you can let us know. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-773-2900. That is all the time we have for this story today. We will be back after a short break. But first, here's I Found You by the Alabama Shakes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.